Keeping All of God's Commandments, Elder Henry D. Taylor, Henry D. Taylor, Conference Report, October 1961, pages 101-103. We sing a beautiful hymn that is a favorite of mine. It refers to our existence prior to coming to this earth. Sister Eliza R. Snow, the author, poses some very meaningful questions, and in addressing her Father in Heaven asks, "When shall I regain thy presence, and again behold thy face?" She concludes the hymn with this prayer, "When I leave this frail existence, when I lay this mortal by, Father, Mother, may I meet you in your royal courts on high, then at length, when I've completed all you sent me forth to do, with your mutual approbation, let me come and dwell with you." Our Heavenly Father loves us, His children, and desires that each will return again to His presence, for He has declared, "Come, behold, this is my work and my glory to bring to pass the immortality and eternal life of man." In order to attain this goal of immortality, it was decreed that individuals privileged to come to this earth must pass through the experience of death, but God in His wisdom allowed His only begotten Son in the flesh, Jesus Christ, to suffer, bleed, and die on the cross to break the bands of death. Through His atoning sacrifice, Christ became our Savior and Redeemer. It is through Him that we will return to the Father, for He has said, "Come, no man shall come unto the Father but by me." We have the promise and assurance that after death, our earthly, mortal body will be resurrected and become a glorified tabernacle of our eternal spirit. Our Father in Heaven is all-wise and infinite. He is also a God of law and order. He has given to man a plan, the gospel plan, which furnishes instructions for us to follow in order to return to His presence. These instructions are known as commandments and are given to us through His servants, the prophets. Every commandment is important and has been provided for a specific purpose. It is not logical to suppose that man may choose the commandments he wishes to observe and ignore the others. Note how emphatically the Lord has expressed Himself on this matter. "If thou lovest me, thou shalt serve me and keep all my commandments." We might well consider that keeping the commandments is a one-package deal. In contemplating the gospel plan, however, there is a possibility that we may be attracted to certain doctrines to the exclusion of others. Many years ago I read some verses that made a lasting impression upon me. They are called, "The Blind Man and the Elephant." It was six men of Indostan, to learning much inclined, who went to see the elephant that each by observation might satisfy his mind. The first happening to fall against the broad and sturdy side exclaimed, "The elephant is very like a wall." The second, feeling of the roundness, smoothness, and sharpness of the tusk, cried, "This wonder of an elephant is very like a spear." The third happened to grasp the squirming trunk in his hand. "I see," quoth he, "the elephant is very like a snake." The fourth reached out his hand, and felt about the knee. "What this wondrous beast is like," he said, "is very like a tree." The fifth, who chanced to touch an ear, stated, "This marvel of an elephant is very like a fan." The sixth, in groping about, seized the swinging tail. "I see," quoth he, "the elephant is very like a rope." And so these men of Indostan disputed loud and long, each in his own opinion, exceeding stiff and strong, though each was partly in the right, and all were in the wrong. And thus it is with us and the gospel. We catch a glimpse here and another there. Like the blind men of Indostan, we form our own impressions of the gospel, yet it has been restored in its fullness, and through study and prayer we can obtain a knowledge and appreciation of its beauty and completeness. Now to return for a brief consideration of the Lord's commandments, keeping in mind His promise when He said, "I, the Lord, am bound when you do what I say, but when you do not what I say, ye have no promise." From the very beginning, God has provided His children with instructions or commandments. To Adam He gave the law of sacrifice, on Mount Sinai. Moses received the Ten Commandments for the children of Israel. Some of these tell us what to do, others what not to do. Today, we still subscribe to those teachings as being basic and binding upon us. From time to time through the years, other important instructions have been given. Frequently we hear the admonition, "Keep the commandments and you will be blessed," but there is more to it than that. Specifically, what are these commandments, the observance of which will bring us promised blessings? While the list would be impressively lengthy, a few essential ones we mention. First, love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, might, mind, and strength. Love is one of the great attributes of God and is the very essence of the gospel of Jesus Christ. Love is a virtue that every person should earnestly strive to develop. Second, next to loving God, we should love our neighbor as ourselves. This anticipates that we will be honest in our dealings with our fellow man and not take unfair advantage but help him in every way possible. Third, in order to keep ourselves unspotted from the world, We should go to the house of prayer on the Sabbath day, partake of the sacrament, renew our covenants with the Lord, and remember our promise always to keep His commandments. Fourth, prayerfully choose a suitable mate, go to the temple, the house of the Lord, to be married and sealed, not only for time, but also for all eternity. Fifth, establish a home, multiply and replenish the earth, rear a righteous family, set a proper example for a worthy posterity and the whole world. Sixth, all members of the church should live righteously. By so doing, every male member will make himself worthy to receive the priesthood and should then magnify it by gratefully accepting responsibilities that come, which callings he neither covets nor rejects, and in all his responsibilities he should be supported by his wife and family, standing loyally by his side. Seventh, search out the names of departed kinsmen, as a proxy perform ordinances in the house of the Lord for their salvation and exaltation. Eighth, recognize that the earth is the Lord's, and the fullness thereof. Pay tithes and offerings as a token of appreciation for the good things of the earth and for all other blessings we receive. Ninth, share the gospel and teach all who will hearken to its message. In this way every member will become a missionary. Tenth, provide for our own economic independence. Remember the poor and needy and show concern for their welfare. 11th, keep the body a sacred temple for the Spirit of the Lord by being clean, chaste, and virtuous, realizing that His Spirit will not dwell in an unclean tabernacle. Also keep the body strong by observing the Lord's law of health, known as the Word of Wisdom. To this list, brothers and sisters, you will want to add others. As mortals we are weak, we have many frailties and imperfections, and it may be difficult at first to obey all the commandments, but we should never cease striving. Progress is doing better today than we did yesterday. Each of us should have as an objective the Savior's admonition, "Be ye therefore perfect, even as your Father which is in heaven is perfect." As we become more perfect, we gain strength and willpower, and thus it is easier to keep all of God's commandments. When this is accomplished, we are well on our way to happiness and eternal life. Happiness, peace, and contentment can be ours. The prophet Joseph Smith taught, "Happiness is the object and design of our existence, and will be the end thereof, if we pursue the path that leads to it, and this path is virtue, uprightness, faithfulness, holiness, and keeping all the commandments of God." The prophet Alma also contributed this important truth, "Wickedness never was happiness." If we keep all of God's commandments, we will enjoy a feeling of calmness, serenity, and strength. This will serve as a bulwark to protect us against the winds and storms created by the tensions and uncertainties of present chaotic world conditions. We need not wait until we get to heaven to obtain peace and happiness. We can have heaven on earth, here and now. May we all hearken to and observe the admonition of the ancient prophet who exclaimed, "Let us hear the conclusion of the whole matter, fear God, and keep His commandments, for this is the whole duty of man, for which I humbly pray in the name of Jesus Christ our Savior, Amen."